want to bless you because you have first of all blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you for all that you've given us in Christ. We thank you that you've given us forgiveness of sins and life everlasting and a community of faith that we can be with today. And we say thank you and we bless you for that. We want to say that we bless you for the way in which you touch our physical bodies and give healing when we're sick. And I pray for Rihanna. I pray that you would give her the strength and the health and the wholeness that is her inheritance in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would bless Qingwen and Yulin with the kind of perseverance to be caregivers for their daughter through this extended, difficult recovery that she's had in the hospital. I pray for blessing on her in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to pray a blessing on every youth that's at this youth weekend. There's probably 50 of us are gone today, but Lord, I pray your blessing on them, even as they're worshiping right now, even as Isaac may be preaching now, even as they're hearing your word. I pray, God, that you would give our young people a heart to follow hard after you. I know it's easy for young people to follow, and some of them even follow hard, but I pray that you would enable them to follow hard after Jesus. Because that's not always easy in school. There's a lot of different things pulling at their attention. I pray that you would bless them in Jesus' name. I pray that they would come to faith in Christ. I pray that they would know you in a very personal way. I pray that the commitments that are sealed today, that they would continue in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to pray for families where there's division, where there's families divided and where there's still people that haven't come to faith in a family. I know that some of our congregation have parents who have never found Jesus. I pray, God, that you would continue to bless them as a family. I pray that you would enable them to care for their parents in their senior years and the sandwich generation. I pray that even as they continue to age, I pray, God, that you would help them to be young and green and that you would grant them the blessing of faith. And so, Lord, for every part of our family, for every part of our congregation, I pray a blessing. I pray that we might know more about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit today in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have a baby dedication at the end of our service, and you already hear some good lungs happening, and that's great. We're going to say amen to that. I want to speak to you today, sort of the message before we have the baby dedication. I want to speak about blessing. And my sermon is entitled, It's Never Too Late to Give a Blessing. And our text is from Genesis chapter 27. And it's the story of Isaac, who was old and blind and dying. And it was time for him to speak some important words to his sons. And he called his eldest son Esau to him. And he told Esau to go hunting, go make a favorite meal. His favorite meal was venison. And Isaac planned to give Esau, as the oldest son, a final blessing. Now, what you need to know is that Esau, as the oldest son, was entitled to two special things. First was the birthright, which entitled him to twice as much inheritance. But years before, in a hunger crisis, Esau had foolishly agreed to sell his birthright to his twin brother Jacob in exchange for a bowl of stew. Not a very smart trade. But now is the time for his other rightful inheritance, the blessing. And this was a time when a father would speak a particular positive prophetic pronouncement over his son. It was the moment every son lived for. It's the moment that some of us live for. But Jacob, the younger twin brother, had other plans. He was mummy's favorite boy. And together they conceived an elaborate scheme to deceive Isaac and get the blessing. And they put some goat skins on Jacob's hairless arms. And Isaac was suspicious at first, but when he felt the hairy arms, the plan worked. And we pick it up in Genesis 27, verse 25. Then Isaac said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." And Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, actually Esau's clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." And after Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. And he too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. And then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game that you may give me your blessing." And his father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered, your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Well, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him. And indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me. Me too, my father." But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he's taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." And then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I've made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants. And I've sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And then Esau wept aloud. Esau got cheated out of the blessing which was meant for him. And it caused great strife in the family for many, many years. And perhaps one of the saddest moments in Scripture is right there in verse 38. "Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And then Esau wept aloud. Now, I understand that Middle Eastern culture 3,000 years ago is quite different from our culture in 2019 today in Canada. But as a father of three girls, I don't have a favorite daughter. And I don't have just one blessing to give. And I believe that each of my daughters needs a unique blessing, a blessing suited to each of their gifts and God-given purpose. And more than that, I believe that giving a blessing away is a part of our great calling as followers of Christ. And we need to spend some time today reflecting on this theme of blessing and then put it into practice in our marriages, in our families, our extended families, our church, and our community. So what do I mean by blessing? A blessing is any kind of gift in word or action that communicates love and acceptance to someone else with the effect of building esteem, confidence, and security. A blessing focuses on the edification, the building up of the other person. And I've adapted the general meaning of the word blessing from a book by Gary Smalley and John Trent. A blessing may include the following elements: touch, words, word pictures communicating a special future and an act of commitment to see the blessing come to pass. Let's take a look, first of all, at meaningful touch. Genesis 27:22, Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he said, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." We've become a bit of a high-tech, low-touch society. We don't eat much together anymore. We don't talk much at intimate levels. I think many of us are starved for touch. Women who work as prostitutes, women who have repeated unwanted pregnancies, have told researchers that their sexual activity is merely a way of satisfying yearnings to be touched and held. Touch is important because it has positive physical benefits, and it's also highly symbolic. You know, studies show that, first of all, touch can actually lower a person's blood pressure. Hemoglobin levels in both people's bloodstreams go up when two people touch, when there's a laying on of hands. We need multiple meaningful touches every day to maintain good emotional levels of health. I don't know if you're familiar with the psychological experiment. Some scientists, they took some baby monkeys and put them in a cage, but isolated them from their mother. They gave them all the food that they needed, but there was no other touch. They found that those babies who were isolated did not thrive and they died. Not because they didn't have food, but because there was no connection. They were in isolation. Physical benefits of touch are important, but symbolically, there's so much more that touch means. Touch communicates warmth, trust, love, acceptance, security. A handshake is an important greeting in our society. You know, even sports teams. You know, after they score a goal, right? Calgary managed to pull out the win last night. Woo-hoo! But you know, after they score a goal and they go down the row and they all do that thing, and you know, like these are grown men and they're all like hugging and everything. Don't you think that's a bit weird? No, because we all need encouragement. It's celebration. Families, if you've ever watched families at an airport, you know, and they, you know, somebody who hasn't seen each other for a long time and they're just, you know, bawling all over each other. You know, it's important. And in the church, we have this thing called laying on of hands. It communicates blessing and transfer of authority. I don't know if any of you have ever been in Russia. You know that my wife and I and my family were mission workers in Russia for about 18 years. But the church there takes very literally the words of Scripture. Greet one another with a holy kiss. But it's a bit odd because they're sort of the guys sort of greet the guys with the holy kiss and women greet the women. I got to tell you, the weirdest thing ever was at a wedding, and you know, he said, you can now kiss the bride, and he turned to kiss the best man and she turned to kiss the best lady, and it was just freaky. I got to tell you, it's just, there's some freaky things when you're in a different culture, right? But in the church, right, like there was this moment where, right, like where you realize I'm a foreigner and I'm comfortable with handshakes. And you know, then there's these guys, right, kissing each other, and you're sort of trying to cross the culture. But I remember my first kiss. You know, a bearded man, and he kind of, you know, I mean, he pulled me in, he just smacked one right on the lip, boom, you know, and it, you know, I mean, a part of me was just so weirded out, and a part of me was like, I'm in, I'm accepted in this church, you know. Touch is an important part of communicating a blessing to someone else. But a second aspect of blessing others is the use of positive words. And I'm not just talking about positive psychology. Blessing others implies using words for building others up. You know, words have great power. You've all heard that kids thing, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, you know. But that's, what a lie. What a crock. Because words, like, can be very hurtful. What does James chapter 3 say? It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses, make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. California knows all about that. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Friends, words have great power. They've got the power to direct, to destroy, or delight. You know, big ships are moved by little rudders, right? Words have huge power to direct others. Sometimes we use words like a sergeant in the army. Do this, you know. Some of us dads kind of got that one. Other times we're much more subtle. Like when Linda says to me, were you thinking of going on a date this week? Well, you know, even if I wasn't before, I am now, right? Like, let's be honest. Subtle little, you know, direction going there. Especially on Valentine's. Guys, I hope you were here last week because I tried to warn you. Dual bag. Words have the power to destroy. They're like that little match that can cause a forest fire. You know, some words are used to curse others, to condemn. Words can rip others into pieces and make them feel foolish, stupid, incompetent. And if you've ever gone through any kind of school, you know, social situation, maybe, you've seen this happen. Words have also the power to delight, to bless, to bring life to others, like a fountain of water flowing in a dry land. Words can lift others up. Words can be used to praise the action and the character of our children and our parents, our boss, our employees, our spouse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And words can communicate a special future as well. Word pictures can also be a way that we bless others. Pictures are worth 1,000 words, and word pictures aren't easily forgotten. You know, a mother might call her daughter a helpful little kitty, and that could become very powerful. Every year, Matt and I, Matt's the youth pastor if you're new here, we host a special evening for our high school grads. And you ask any of our high school graduates which of their grads was more impactful in their life. Their school grad, which cost, I don't know how many, hundreds of dollars, you know. Or the church grad, which kind of costs about 25 bucks. And I bet you they're going to say it was the church grad. And the reason isn't because of the price of the meal. The reason is because we invite the parents to speak into the lives of their children. And we say, this isn't the time to roast them. This is the time to bless them, to use a word picture, maybe hook it up with a little bit of a little gift of some kind. We had a previous church, we had a special grad ceremony where the son's name was named Sterling. And the dad, he got a sterling silver coin, and he gave it to his son. And he talked about his sterling character. And there wasn't a dry eye in the place, right? Because of the words of the parent to the child, the blessing that we all long for. Was it powerful? Yeah. Sometimes we can use our words to communicate a special future to the person being blessed. Isaac said, may nations serve you and people bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. When a person feels in his or her heart that the future is hopeful and there's something to look forward to, it can greatly affect his or her attitude towards life. Words that picture a special future are like beacons in the night. I love the story of, a Jewish mother is pushing her baby carriage. She meets one of her friends, and she says, oh, are these your children? And the Jewish mother goes, yes, this is Benny, the doctor, and Reuben, the lawyer, you know. And they're serious about it. Special future, pictured with words, and then active commitment. You see, blessing others is more than just words. Sometimes it's actions that speak the loudest. A parent who wants the best for his children is going to do more than just give positive pep talks. If I see that my daughter is musically gifted, a desire to bless her will propel me to support those gifts with music lessons, books, CDs. Maybe we'll sing together, we'll play music together. If I believe that a university or a Bible college education is important, I'm probably going to support that vision by saving up money in a registered education savings plan. Blessing others requires more than just words. It requires continuing commitment to them in the future as God makes it clear. I love this story that Gary Smalley tells of his 64-year-old mother. He said on her bookshelf at home, there's an unusual variety of books. There's a section on theology and psychology. There's a section on genetics. And there's a section, Heavy Equipment Digest. And the reason she had such a variety of books was because she had three sons. And one was a pastor, counselor. And one was a medical doctor who's a specialist in genetics in his fight against cancer. And the third son was a manager in a heavy equipment company. And she was committed to being a student of each of her children. She wanted to understand their world and their dreams and their hopes. So she became a student of the things that interested them. Friends, that's an active commitment to the blessing and the future of someone else. All right. Well, I've tried to describe what the blessing is. But as I was thinking about this concept of the blessing, I couldn't help but see how they're true of the way that God blesses us. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, the very things that I just talked about, what the blessing is, God has done for us. Does God touch people? Well, the main thing we celebrate at Christmas isn't Santa Claus. I hate to tell you that. It's the fact that Jesus became a human being. You can't see God, but Jesus revealed the nature of God to us, and he took on flesh and blood, and he touched people, and people could touch him. And you don't have to read very far in the Gospels to know that Jesus touched people. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left. Blind men came up to Jesus. Jesus touched their eyes, and their sight was restored. Jesus even touched lepers, the untouchable caste in society, and they became clean and whole and able to integrate into society again. Some people were healed when they touched Jesus. There was a woman, she had a bleeding problem for 12 years, but when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, power went out from him, and she was healed. There's power in touch, friends. And Jesus took little children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them, and that's what we're going to do this morning. And God speaks positively about you. Do you think God has any positive words to speak about you? You know, if you have a really negative self-image, you think, God doesn't think much about me. And you'd be wrong. And then you're listening to the lies of the enemy rather than the truth of Scripture. Because, you know, you say all kinds of things. You know, it's impossible. And God says, all things are possible. And you say, nobody loves me. And God says, I love you. And you say, I can't forgive myself. And God says, I forgive you. And there's a whole list here. You say, I feel all alone in life. And God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. There's all kinds of positive words that God speaks about you. He gives you the right to become children of God to everyone who believes in his name. Everyone who repents and places their faith in Christ. You get to be one of God's children. God has a special future in mind for you. You know, Jesus renamed one of his disciples Simon to Peter. And Peter means rocky. And on that rock, Jesus wanted to build his church. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And those verses have given me such hope so many different times in my life. Friends, when we see Jesus, we'll become like him. We have an eternal home in glory waiting for us. Believers will reign with Jesus forever and ever. It's an awesome, special future we can hang on to. And here's what I love the best. Jesus committed his whole life to God's purpose to bless you. Romans 5:8 is probably one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It says, "But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, not when we were all good, not when we got our life together. No, when you were the worst sinner on earth, Christ died for you. Man, that's incredible hope. That's incredible commitment that he makes to us. And he's actively praying for us day and night. So how can we respond to this idea, to the fact that God has blessed us? I think the primary way is to bless God, right? We can bless his name. We can lift him up in worship like we did this morning. We can focus on Jesus and soak in all that he's done for us and bless God for his blessings. I mean, we can do that every day. But there's another way that we can respond to God's blessings, and that is we're blessed to be a blessing to others. Blessing others is a part of God's calling in our life. We can touch other people in a positive way. You know, too often churches have messed up in this area. I understand there have been scandals in the Church of Jesus Christ because of inappropriate touching, sexual touching, and abuse. I get that. And maybe for that reason we've become more cautious. We've withdrawn almost all touch other than a handshake. But friends, if the church is not a place where we can go and be touched positively, where are you going to go? If this isn't a place where we can be understood, where are you going to go? Can you imagine if this church was known as the church that hugs? That'd be awesome. What about positive words? Why don't we more easily speak positive words to others? I was a youth pastor for many years. And I heard multiple complaints about homes where the words, I love you, were absent. And it's tragic. You know, I think sometimes parents kind of hold back from speaking too much positive to their kids because they don't want to puff up their heads, right? Parents, can I just say, I don't think the major problem, the major danger is that our kids would become too enamored with themselves. I think the major danger is kids who don't have any self-confidence and they have a poor self-image and they act out of that hole in their life. Our children desperately need to hear positive words. I mean, I was a teenager. I remember confronting my dad with not hearing the words, I love you, to which my dad responded so sympathetically, well, of course we love you. It's understood. You know, well, probably not exactly what I needed to hear at that moment. But we kind of had a big discussion. And I found out that actually he grew up in a home where his dad knew of a family where they always said, I love you, I love you, I love you, but they didn't follow through. And so he grew up in a home where his grandfather didn't want to say the I love you without following through and sort of ended up not saying it at all, right? Friends, both are important. Saying the words and following through are both important. And maybe it's true we can overuse certain phrases and words so they don't mean anything. But if someone's hungry, it's pretty useless to say, go, you know, be warm and be filled. The blessing of positive words has the potential to reduce conflict in your home, to make your marriage better almost immediately, to bring harmony and unity in a family that struggles with conflict. And here's what the Bible says. So if you've fallen asleep, please wake up for this because this is a key verse. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Wouldn't you all like to be blessed more? Wouldn't you all like more positive touch and more positive words in your life? Is there anybody here who doesn't? Let me put it that way. No. Okay, I get it. And so in order to receive the blessing, we've got to give away the blessing. And that's your calling in 2019. Stop battling. Stop trying to win arguments. Start blessing your spouse. My wife needs way more positive words from me. And if your brother or sister puts you down, give them a blessing instead. Your goal isn't to get revenge. Your calling is to give a blessing so that you can inherit a blessing. Your grandparents and your grandchildren, they all need blessing. 30 years ago, my mom gave me this book for my birthday. And this is what she wrote in it. I might cry here, I don't know. My blessing to you, the gift of books and a love of reading. Most of all, we share the love of the book, God's. May you spread the love and delight of God's book wherever you go. Mom, September 29th, 1987. So my mom and my sister and I, we all read this book, and we decided to do something with it. We organized a blessing celebration at Christmas. So we each picked a name of somebody that we were going to just honor with words, with maybe a little, you know, the Christmas gift was going to connect. It was the longest, most teary Christmas ever. We kind of all, well, we never did it again after that. My brother remembers my dad getting up on a chair so he could stand eye to eye with my brother and give him the blessing and, you know, a few of these things. You know, grad's coming up. If you've got a kid who's graduating, offer a blessing. Maybe Christmas, you know, next Christmas, you got to get way ahead of something like that. You won't regret it. And don't forget the act of commitment. You know, many of you know Linda and I were full-time mission workers in Russia for about 18 years. And every time we came home from Russia, my dad met us with a car at the airport. That was active commitment to our family, and it blessed us in such a practical way. You know, you see some pictures here of all the moving that we did. We did that scores of times, moving, you know, from one apartment to another, back to Canada from Russia, from, you know, We moved so many times. I remember what one home group did when we moved to Russia. They came over and they helped us get all of our furniture into our crawl space, which is about a 4-foot high ceiling. And, you know, we had to move everything in there. It blessed us so much. You know, Sham, Pastor Sham, she blessed and a number of volunteers. I don't remember who was all volunteering on Friday night. Twice a year, they bless children and parents to give them a night out at Valentine's and at Christmas time. And it's a way, it's a commitment to bless. You know, my parents, they used to offer to babysit our kids once, you know, one week during the summer. And that blessed us as parents. There's so many ways that you can bless others in your family, outside of your family. If you want to bless someone else, you need to find specific ways to touch them, speak positive words, communicate a special future, and follow through with an active commitment to those you want to bless. It's a great calling. I don't know how Esau ended his life in terms of blessing his children. But Scripture tells us how Jacob, the stealer, blessed his children before he died. It says in Genesis 49:28, he blessed them, everyone with the blessing appropriate to him. I think Jacob learned the lesson that a father should have more than one blessing. Every child deserves to be blessed by touch and positive words and active commitment. Friends, if you knew you only had a week to live, what would you say to others? What kind of actions would you communicate to those that you love? I love the story about a man. I think I've told it before, but it's too fun not to repeat. He goes to a doctor. He finds out he's got 24 hours to live, and his wife asks, "Well, what should we do?" Then he says, "Well, I think we should buy a bottle of the best wine we can afford, and we should hold each other and make passionate love through the night." And she says, "Easy for you to say. You don't have to get up in the morning." Sometimes we think we've got all the time in the world to say what needs to be said. But don't wait till it's too late to say the words you want to say. Parents, bless your children. Grandparents, bless your children and your grandchildren. And children, bless your parents. Bless your grandparents. Brothers and sisters, bless one another as Christ has blessed you. It's never too late to give a blessing. If you kind of think, if this was the last week of your life and you knew something you'd do, well, what's stopping you? You don't have to be dying to do the very thing that you should do if you were. Now is always the right time to praise God for his blessings. Today is always the right day to pass a blessing on to someone else. And we're going to invite Ben and Elva and Harry and Nancy to come up, and we're going to bless their children. Now, we don't baptize babies at our church. We believe that baptism is a step of faith that every individual must choose when she comes to age and to understand faith and can make a commitment to God. But we do dedicate babies. Dedicating a child to God involves the parents, the extended family, and the faith community. And the biblical precedent is found in Mark chapter 10. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who won't receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. And even Jesus was blessed when he was a baby. In dedicating a child to God, these parents are first of all giving thanks to God for the creation and the birth and the health of these precious little girls. God gave them babies, and they're both named Evelyn, so I can't screw this up. But you know, in dedicating a baby, there's also a recognition that children are a gift from God, and they're for God. And children aren't ours to possess, but to train, to love, and eventually release. The master plan is to send them out. We want to pray that God will bless these girls and give them health and strength, and when they come of age, to choose to live rightly before God. The name Evelyn means desired. And as much as you desire to have a relationship with your girls, God desires it even more. Number six, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. When we bless our children, something significant happens in the spiritual realm. And if you're a parent, you know that you want the very best for your child. I can't think of anything better for a child than to receive the name and the blessing of God. Now, it also takes a village to raise a child. Parenting is a difficult task, and we often need the help, advice, and influence of others around us to train a child. Do you, members and friends, that's everybody here today, of Southgate Alliance, do you promise to join with Ben and Elva, with Harry and Nancy, in teaching and positively influencing Evelyn Tsai and Evelyn Zhao, praying for them so that they may be led in due time to trust Christ as their Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, I want to invite you to stand. Ben and Elva, let me ask you first a question. In bringing Evelyn today, do you covenant in dependence upon God's grace and in partnership with this church to teach her the truths of the Christian faith, to pray for her, to train her in the fear of the Lord and set an example for her to the best of your ability of following Jesus? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Harry and Nancy, I'll ask you the same thing. In bringing Evelyn today, do you covenant in dependence upon God's grace and in partnership with this church to teach her the truths of the Christian faith, to pray for her, to train her in the fear of the Lord, and set an example for her to the best of your ability of following Jesus? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Okay. Well, God, let's pray. If you want to just stick your hand out in this direction, that's good too. God, we thank you for Evelyn Tsai and Evelyn Zhao, and they are truly gifts from you. And long before they were born, you thought about them and named them. You formed them in the womb, and they're loved by you. And may they walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When people observe their character and actions, may they see Jesus and give God glory. Lord, we pray that you would give grace and love and wisdom to Ben and Elva and to Harry and Nancy to properly nurture and train their daughters. Help them set a godly example, for more is caught than taught. And we pray that you would bless Evelyn in Jesus' name with health and strength. As she grows, may she make wise decisions to live for you. May she come to know you personally at an early age. I pray for favor and blessing in her life. Bless her and keep her. Make your face shine upon her and be gracious to her. Keep watch over her with your heavenly angels and give her peace. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I pray for Evelyn Zhao, the God, that you would make her like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. May you grow in real knowledge, the depth of God's love for you, and have wisdom to discern God's path and walk in it. May God allow you to grow and bear fruit in His season, and your relationship with God will never wither, and whatever you do, you will prosper. The Lord will be your shield and preserve you holy and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, you know, I want to just send us out with a blessing. I want to invite all of you, as we end, to sort of just say congratulations to the parents today. And we've got a special meal. So we had some people, Tony and Julia and Sarah and James, were all helping to make some croissants. And we've got vegetables and desserts, and they're right at the back of the table in the foyer. And I want everybody to know that you're invited. And we have enough for everybody because we got 50 youth that are gone, so they can't eat it all before you get there today. So I picked an awesome weekend for that. I just want to make sure that you know that you're invited. Oh, I've got these cards for you. Okay, don't want to forget that. All right. I want to do something a bit unusual, and that is I'd like to sing the blessing, the benediction over you. It's one of the things that I did for my kids when they were growing up, when they were smaller. But I want to kind of sing over them and for all of you as we end the service today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. And give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. Well, I want to invite you back next week. It's our last Sunday in February where we're talking about family issues, and we're going to talk about about parenting throughout the seasons. All right. So if you've got some parents to parent, if you've got some adult kids at home, you're going to want to come back next week, and we're going to talk about that. God bless you. There's a couple of people that are here for the very first time. See if you can find them and just welcome them. And God bless you as you go.